Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Let's bring in Anthony Slater, who's live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he joins us courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. And there's a lot of chatter, Anthony, as we say good morning to you. Thank you, as always, for joining us here on the morning also on 95.7 The Game. We've heard from Draymond. We've heard from Steve. You talked to Steve. We heard from Steve yesterday on with Willard or Dibs. You talked to Steph Curry about it, where the Warriors are saying, hey, maybe it's not worth mortgaging the future, making a radical deal. Now, I wouldn't mind seeing them wait until the summer where you may have more options to make a move, but what was your big takeaway from hearing all the rhetoric from Steve, Steph, and Draymond about this situation? And do you believe maybe it's a white flag moment for this year for the Golden State Warriors?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think it's stuff we've been talking about. They just kind of voiced it, and I think it's been taken as like it was some targeted plan to all come out at the same time. The reality is Draymond just talked to Vinny Goodwill, you know, in the Detroit locker room post game. I talked to Steve before those comments even came out about the same thing in Toronto at shoot around. And then because Draymond surfaced, Steph was asked about him.
Yeah.
So that's how they all come out at the same time. And part of that is because it's like, you know, that's the topic we all care about right now, right? With 3 weeks to the deadline, like, what are they going to do? What are they willing to trade? And what aren't they willing to trade? So it wasn't some, you know, clandestine meeting behind the scenes where they all decided, hey, let's break and find the nearest reporter and all say something at the same time. But that's just the topic around the team. And again, I do think Steph's was taken too much as like a don't make a trade at all. And same with, like, you know, you talk to Steve, you talk to other people behind the scenes, like, they're still going to be active going up until the deadline. They're still going to try to get rotation players, particularly guys who help the offense, which is 21st ranked.
Yeah.
But they're not going to panic. And we talked about it last week, right? They're not going to suddenly panic today and go, we need Nikola Vucevic so bad. Here's a first rounder, Chicago.
You know, real quick, Shasky, let me get in here. Because you know, with Steve and everybody saying, well, we don't know what the plan is. And I do believe Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob are working the phones. They're going to be as active going up until February 6th. But the fact is, what is out there with the new CBA, with a lot of teams and its parity and the play-in tournament or whatnot, what is really out there that's worth trading for right now? Is it really Jimmy Butler? Is it Zion Williamson? Would Zion Williamson be a fit with the Golden State Warriors?
So, by the way, would the Pelicans even trade him?
I don't know.
We know that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Brandon Ingram is an expiring deal. Like, he's going to very likely be very available. And, you know, but that comes with, like, do you want to pay him long term? You got to decide on that. As far as Zion goes, like, do the Pelicans really want to trade him at his lowest value and just give him up for some salary filler and a pick or two? Like, I'm not sure that that's even going to happen. So I think sometimes people throw out names. It's like there's other teams with other motives on the other side of these deals. I mean, you're dealing with it with Chicago, where it's like, sure, the urgency of the moment might be there for the Warriors to try to make a trade on, you know, mid-January. But Chicago, like, we all know, they're not only are they going to probably wait up until February 5th, 6th to decide on a direction this season. We've seen the last few years, they haven't made a deadline deal in, like, three seasons. They're, like, the longest-standing, like, stay-pat team. But anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, you answered my question, because I wanted to put that out there, because I think a lot of fans, they look at it from their side of point of view, saying, let's trade this guy for that guy. And it's like, well, those other GMs and other coaches and other players, they all get paid. They have a scouting department. And if you think this way about a player, what do you think those guys think about a player? So you kind of answer my question there, Slates.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing is, like, what's out there? Like, rotation players that could maybe nudge this team to a better level. Maybe, you know, to me, like, the sixth seed is still, the Warriors are tumbling right now. We understand 7-17. They're heading in the wrong direction, but there's still a lot of teams in their vicinity who are also, like, you know, crumbling as well. Like, Phoenix just lost the game last night, so they now have the same record as the Warriors. The Kings have leaped ahead of them at 20-20, but I'm not ready to declare them, you know, solved with this Doug Christie thing. The Spurs are like a game ahead. You could probably leap them theoretically. The Lakers have lost three in a row. They're 20-17, falling back to earth. I'm not sure about the Clippers long term. Like, there is a path to, you know, really kind of maybe overpower yourself into the 7-8 side of the play-in, or maybe the 6. And part of that path is maybe use some second round draft capital, maybe a protected first, go get you a Vucevic, maybe a Cam Johnson, and maybe his price tag goes down, or maybe there's a surprising name out there. But to answer your question, what's out there? It's helpful rotation guys that are not going to take this team into the contending stratosphere. They're not heading towards Boston and Oklahoma City and some of those teams. Like, that isn't out there. And it's fine to go after the other stuff, and they're probably going to, but the two steps back is they're not just going to overpay for it. And that's kind of what their veterans and coach are saying.
Can you conceive any type of a scenario where someone usurps Draymond Green's influence in this organization? So where I'm going at with this, Steph, Kerr, and Draymond feel like the most important players and people on this roster, in this front office. Could you see like someone like a Kuminga, I'm using him as an avatar, usurping Draymond in this hierarchy?
Like, to where Jonathan Kuminga walks into the front office and is like, I want this guy and this guy.
In the sense that Draymond takes a back seat to someone who takes a higher role in the organization. Because I keep hypothesizing and coming back to this conclusion. Dre, Steve, and Steph, something has to be broken up for them to take a step forward.
Yeah, to answer your question as a voice, no. I mean, like, they care about what Draymond has meant to this franchise long term, and the four titles that he helped deliver to the doorstep, and the personality he is, and he's, you know, like he has Joe Lacob's ear, of course, and he means a lot to them, and you know, the way he talks about it, he plans to mean a lot to them, like, long after his career. And let me tell you, Draymond Green is not going away as a personality when his NBA career is over, and I don't think he's going to be going away as like an influential, you know, member of the Warriors, you know, long-term. I just don't. As far as Kuminga, like, how does he get more equity? He's got to sign a contract. Like, you know, that his future needs to get solved. We don't know what his future is over the next 3 weeks, over the next several months. As far as, you know, could Draymond theoretically be moved, traded? That would never, like, if something like that happens, it's going to be a stunning in the moment, oh my God, they just did that, because that's nothing that they would hint to me or any other reporter behind the scenes, because there's just a lot involved in making a decision like that. So I have been given no any indication at all that they'd be open to that. But, you know, shocking things have happened in sports where, you know, the outside world didn't necessarily see it coming.
Everybody seems to be reflecting right now, you know, whether it is Steph, whether it is Draymond, Steve Kerr. If Steve in particular could go back and, you know, just say, hey, I'd like a do-over, what would that do-over be? Would it be a particular draft selection? Would it be playing people in a certain season? Would it be a decision offensively, philosophically? What would be his do-over?
I mean, you'd have to ask him that. I mean, that's certainly a question he'd probably answer. Yeah. I mean, I think franchise-wise, and he's obviously a very, you know, influential part of just like the franchise process, the decision-making process. I mean, we can all look at Wiseman as you know, you had the second overall pick in a draft that, are we really talking with like complete retrospect?
Yeah,
now?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You could have jumped up to the first pick and got Anthony Edwards at the time. I mean, like, again, I think if they jumped up to the first pick, they probably would have taken Wiseman, because like they were like, that was a very consensus choice from stars to coaches to front office. Like, they thought they had found, like, you know, that they were bringing in their center of the future, a guy who right now would be this stretch five rim protecting force. Obviously, we know that didn't happen. So when you ask about, like, you know, ways that this could go differently, like, Anthony Edwards was gettable in that draft. That was considered a top three where, you know, Edwards, LaMelo, and Wiseman, they were going to go 1, 2, 3, but you didn't know what teams and you didn't know how valued they'd be. So to answer your question, if they really had 2020 vision on the past, just go get Anthony Edwards. Imagine him on this team.
Oh, yeah. That would be amazing. We're talking to Anthony Slater on the River Eyes guest line, our 95-70 game insider, Warriors insider for The Athletic. Does a hell of a job covering his team, covering this league. All right. Kuminga. We brought up his contract situation, but where's Kuminga at with the ankle injury? I've heard nothing. I know they were going to reevaluate him 3 weeks from when the injury took place. Where are we at? About a week and a half into it, almost 2 weeks. Where are we? What are you hearing about Jonathan Kuminga, Anthony?
Yeah, he's feeling better. He's around. He's on the road trip, which he didn't at first know he was going to make the road trip, but he decided to. He said, I was talking to him the other day in Toronto. He just said he kind of wanted to be around the team right now, support. Celebrini's on the trip, so, you know, it's always good to be around him. As far as, like, he's still in a walking boot. Now he's moving better. It went from crutches to, by the start of the road trip, walking boot, but with, like, a real limp to the other day. You still walk weird with a walking boot,
right.
But it was, like, a much, like, it seems like he's not limping at all, really. And he, you know, I've seen him have it off at times in the locker room. So he's getting better, but it was a bad ankle sprain. He came down, you know, really hard on it. So he's still a bit away for sure.
So about 2 weeks. Damn, that's the thing. So Gary Payton II is back. Andrew Wiggins is back as well. He came back the other night against Toronto. Offensively, when you look at these numbers, because they're 7-17 in their last 24 games, and the numbers are just atrocious, Anthony. I mean, first of all, their record is bad. But you look at their offensive numbers here, points per game, they're 27th. Field goal percentage, they're 29th. Three-point percentage, they're 22nd. Offensive rating, they're 27th. What do you attribute their offensive struggles to?
I mean, a lot of things, but let's start with the veterans who just, like, can't make shots, right? I mean, Buddy Hield, 29% from three, I think, since, like, December 12th, so basically over a month. Dennis Schroeder, I mean, you know his stats since coming in offensively. Like, they made that trade and said it as much afterwards. Like, this is about boosting the offense, and that has not helped. You know, like, the three-point percentage team-wide, I also would say, like, you know, Steph isn't as explosive as he was early in the season. When you go back to that 12-3 start, and he was, like, having those flurries at the end of games, you can remember it in the Clay game, Boston, Oklahoma City, all those big wins they had. That was him down the stretch. He hasn't had as many of those. Clearly, right? You know, you could have won in Toronto the other night if maybe he hit a three or two down the stretch, or Buddy Hield had hit the wide open corner three. So there's a lot of that. And also, you know, roster construction. They were built to be a defensive team that was going to get by offensively. And they're a little bit worse than they wanted to be defensively, but still solid. And they're worse than they want to be offensively, partly because of roster construction, partly because of the guys that they're trusting to shoot it better, just haven't shot it well. And the young guys too, right? Kuminga gets hurt at the wrong time, and he kind of had a back and forth early part of the season. Pajemski was supposed to be a big part of the offense. Like, he's at this point nowhere to be seen. And it just hasn't necessarily worked in many ways.
God, the Pajemski thing has just been, it's been crazy. I mean, he's just falling off the cliff right now. And then, obviously, he's been injured for a long time. Hypothetically, Mike Dunleavy comes to you, Anthony Slater, and he says, hey, Anthony, like, what do you suggest we do over the next couple of weeks heading into the trade deadline? And Bonte and I kind of kicked this around. Like, I do think there's an argument for, like, sell a lot of things, you know, and just tank it out a little. This is the year to do it. There's another side of me that's like, make a reckless trade. But if you were to give a suggestion and Mike Dunleavy came to you, hypothetically, what would your suggestion be?
Well, first I'd ask, like, how much does, like, a good front office job pay? That's my first question.
Very well.
Okay. So now I'm more interested in giving the answer. I think that they should use some of their draft capital to try to help this team in the next few weeks with a smart rotate, you know, try to get a smart, you know, well-fitting rotation player that helps the offense. Again, Vucevic is a name we can talk about, but there's others out there, certainly, and there's probably others we're not even talking about, depending on what, you know, some of these rival teams want to do. And, you know, be willing, certainly, to trade second round, but even maybe, a future first, a protected first. I would try to protect it in the lottery because you just don't want the doomsday scenario of giving up, you know, the third overall pick or something in 2027. And, you know, go help Steph Curry offensively right now. Make this team better. Give it some freshness while also understanding that the 3 days after they traded for Dennis Schroeder, I mean, everybody was talking about, ooh, you know, this is going to be great for them and, you know, what a find and all that. And now 2 weeks later, it's like nobody even cares about that fit. So there's also a chance that you use some of that draft capital and it doesn't really change the path. But there's guys out there. Again, we've talked about it. They've talked about a stretch five would really help. You know, you'd probably rather have a Miles Turner type stretch five because he could protect the rim while also hitting the three. But
could Quentin Post? Know. I don't mean to interrupt you. Like, we get a lot of these, like, people tagging us in tweets and DMing us. Could Quinn Post get a look?
I mean, they're basically saying he's like 2 years away. Like, he needs a lot of developmental time. Now, he went in an Indy, he hit a three, and there were certainly some people behind the scenes, including the head coach, who's like, yeah, that was kind of an interesting look, right? You know, to see the stretch five out there, but there's also an understanding that, you know, he's not ready, and he shouldn't be ready. He was like a late second round pick who was on a two-way contract. Like, that's not going to change your season. An idealized version of him, even like, to me, what he can become in this league a few years from now is like Nemanja Bjelica, right? Like the career Bjelica had. A 2022 version of Bjelica would help this team. We saw it. But also, like, I don't know. I mean, like, to answer your question, like, Quinton Post is not going to, you know, change the power structure in the NBA.
I hope my father's listening, because last month he goes, "Hey, you think Quinton Post, man? I think Quinton Post."
I get it every day.
I was like, are you, Pops,
somebody asked me every day.
Stop with the Quinton Post stuff. Do you think they'll flip Schroeder before the deadline, knowing how it's looked? Would they be inclined to do something like that? I know he's just got over here from Brooklyn. His family's out here. It's been a difficult transition for him. But would they? Because the fit, it just doesn't look like it's going to fit, Anthony. He's a guy where the ball sticks in his hands. He wants the ball in his hands. He wants to run that pick and roll. Ready react or whatever. He just doesn't look comfortable right now playing alongside Stephen Curry. Do you think they consider flipping him before the deadline?
Sure. I mean, it has to be in consideration. Now, he can't be aggregated in a deal until like the day before the deadline.
Right.
But, you know, if that's what has to make the salary work for something that makes sense, like, yeah, he's an expiring $13 million. They're not tied to him long term at all. But I will say, like, I don't think he's necessarily first on the list as you try to build up salaries. Like, he's still, like, he's a defensive guard that they feel like they need. He should get better offensively, especially if, you know, theoretically, if you brought in a stretch five like a Vucevic, it doesn't only help Seth. It helps a guy like Schroeder. It helps Kuminga. It helps Draymond, right? Just more floor spacing helps everybody. But right now, I mean, despite of how much he struggled, to me, he's probably still their fifth, sixth most important rotation player. Whereas you could build up salaries with guys much further down that list.
You may not have remembered this player, but Brian Cardinal was a very beloved Warrior during a bad time.
I remember
time.
Brian Cardinal.
Yeah, the janitor, the custodian.
I started watching the NBA, you know,
so,
5 years ago. Yes, I remember Brian Cardinal, but go ahead. You want Brian Cardinal on this team?
No,
Brian
Guy Santos is
I'm giving you the Guy Santos. I think we start calling
here
him
we go.
The Zelador. That's Portuguese for the janitor. I think that he, because he does all the little stuff.
Can you say that again?
The Zelador.
You just looked that up, the Zelador?
I did. And honestly, I like Guy Santos. I know he's not making or breaking this season, but they got a little spark here with the guy. I mean, he's given me, you know, shades of Juan Toscano-Anderson, just a little bit of everything. You think maybe he gets a little more playing time, or I don't know, or is this just like everybody's hurt and he's getting chances?
Well, everybody's hurt and he's getting chances. I mean, he played the other night because no Draymond, no Kuminga. Draymond, if he plays tonight, he's questionable right now. Like, that'll probably bump him down the ladder where he's very much at the end of the rotation. But, you know, again, like, are you comfortable with him playing over Kuminga when Kuminga's back? I mean, he's kind of blocked at this point. He's a four on a team that has Draymond and Kuminga and obviously other, Kyle Anderson, for example. Would you prefer to play him over Anderson? I thought Kyle Anderson was good in Toronto the other night.
Well, except for the foul at the end of the third quarter.
Okay, well, let's, you know, there's mistake. How about Guy Santos throwing the Zaza Pachulia between his legs?
That was actually hilarious. I mean, that was hilarious.
I looked at Steve Kerr, he had to blank his stare like, I mean, dear God, get me out of here. Yeah. Before we let you go, Anthony.
I mean, this is how damn bad we are, Anthony. I'm asking you.
This is how damn bad
asking you about how to say janitor in Portuguese.
Hey, Anthony, we're going to find out who the real Warrior fans are over the next year or two. That's for sure. Listen, I got to end it with this one. Shasky and I made a bet, and they've kind of handcuffed me. And
who's
I basically had no stipulations within this bet. I had thought I had an injury clause, but I don't. I bet that Draymond Green would play at least 65 games this season for the Golden State Warriors. Shasky bet that he wouldn't play 65 games, and the dinner at House of Prime Rib is on the line. Who do you think wins this bet, Shasky or me?
I think it's going to be close. I think,
get off the fence,
y'all are going to be tussling in late March about where this thing's going. Now, I will say, if 65 is the award qualification,
yes,
And they have a good defense, and he's certainly a candidate for at least all defensive team. He's got an outside shot if they, you know, turn their season around, you know, to get in the defensive player of the year conversation.
No way.
So,
not going
to. I mean, like I said, if they turn their season around, you know, when they were 12-3, they were the second best.
That's what I worry about, Slater. Not to cut you off, but I need the Warriors to remain in this play-in tournament. Yeah. They're three games behind the Clippers in a loss column for the fifth spot. I'm subscribing to that. What you just said, three games behind the Clippers in a loss column in the Western Conference. The Clippers are five right now. I need the Warriors to stay in this race in order for Draymond to play 65.
Yeah, because like if this thing careens towards the lottery, like, you know, there's not going to be a desire to play many of these guys in March and April. But if they're in it, if they're playing well, if their defense is like why they're playing well, which is like we would all agree that's how they almost have to win games, it would mean he's playing well, and it would mean he would probably get up over 65 games. But y'all have got a real competition. Whoever set that Vegas line, it was a good line.
It was a hell of a line. I think I just said it out of nowhere. Yeah. I am the gambler of the show.
By the way, an outlook reminder.
The Warriors have 8 back-to-backs remaining, right?
Oh, great. Yeah,
he's been playing back to back.
He has been playing back to back.
You know, he didn't play the other night, but he's sick right now. Like the weather's been horrible on this trip, by the way. It's not only is it a downer trip for them as far as that, but it's like I'm trying to figure out how to get to Target Center for shoot around in about 30 minutes without stepping outside because it's like 2 degrees.
Oh my god!
So it's just yeah. Great times.
Well, I mean, I set my outlook reminder, 2 years from now, because Quentin Post, who's 24, who turns 25 in March, will be ready to go in 2 years. I can't wait. Dude, the amount of people who hit us up about Quentin Post, oh, you'd be shocked.
I'm sure Slater gets the same thing. Yeah, I see your traction. Sure. Whenever you send out a tweet, there's thousands and thousands of comments.
I've become good at ignoring it. But, I mean, I'm not, and maybe I shouldn't say this to the fans who, I love my followers, readers, all that, but, you know, I don't necessarily lock into every comment heading my way.
Slates are good, man.
So you're
stay
not
warm.
Like Joe Lacob.
Stay warm in Minnesota.
All right, fellas.
See you, buddy.
We'll see you Saturday when you come back to the Bay when the Warriors take on. It's always fun chatting with Anthony Slater. Game.